This week's episode of the FitCast is brought to you by XFMuscle.com, one of the best tasting protein powder out there. Also check out their bulk volume discounts as well. Hello, welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast. This is episode number 202. I'm Kevin Larrabee, and along with me is Dr. Jonathan Fast. John, how you doing?
Episode 202, and if you say it backwards, it's still episode 202.
That's the kind of show it's going to be this week because...
That's right.
John is saying that he's jet lagged, but I think he's just being lazy.
No. I'm jet lagged.
And Lee is not with us. She is stuck traveling, so we cannot get her on the on the computer. So it's just going to be John and myself, but it's better than just me. So it could be worse.
Hi, this is the FitCast, and this is Kevin. With me is Kevin. I want you to do that one day.
There might be puppy dreams in the background, just to let you guys know if you can hear them.
Oh, I did not. Did I talk about last week? I met my new puppy, the family puppy.
Oh, we talked about it off the air a little bit.
That's what I thought. Yeah, wonderful dog.
Rescue dogs, guys.
Yep, rescue dog. She was found on the streets, taken in, and my parents took her.
Done deal. I got dog training starting with Marty this week. Sweet. Supposed to start last week, but hopefully I should have a stupid thing going this week. So we have a great show lined up for you. We do have a pretty deep mailbag, and we got a cool off roundtable discussion. The first thing I want to quickly talk about is the Xbox Kinect, because I mentioned it last week that I was going to pick one up, and Lee has one, and I think it's a good time to talk about it. To give you guys a little bit of a recap, if you don't know what it is, it's an accessory for the Xbox 360, and it is more or less a camera that can also detect depth. So it allows you to do some pretty cool things when it comes to motion gaming. And the what it comes with is Kinect Adventures, which has a bunch of different games in it, which a couple of them are fantastic. Like one is a... almost like it's kind of like dodgeball. I think it used to be called Ricochet, but I can't remember what they actually ended up calling it in the game. But you literally have to move your arms and legs all around to hit these balls, and you're looking down an alley in the as you obviously have the balls hit your arms and your legs. They go back in the hitboxes. It's actually pretty cool, and you have a you actually have to move around quite a bit. There's a couple other games in there that are a little bit. Not as fun, but the big one is Dance Central, which is made by the guys who created Rock Band Harmonix, and it is awesome. It is you sweat your ass off, and you are breathing hard when you play that game. So if you want something that's a little bit different and will get you off the couch and moving around, and it's something you can definitely, it's like karaoke with friends. Even if you suck, it's fun because of how much, you know, how funny it is that you can't do it very well. So I hope to have a write-up. I was hoping to have some write-up last week, but unfortunately due to some circumstances, I wasn't able to finish it. So hopefully I'll have that for Tuesday or Wednesday this week. But overall, really cool stuff. And I think it's going to be a pretty big deal down the road when it comes to getting kids off the couch, because as much as the Wii does, you can play the Wii sitting down, and you won't really move that much. The Kinect, you have to be up and moving, and you move in three-dimensional space. You have to go forward, backward, side and side, and you actually have to, you know, move your body. So it'll be really interesting to see what other companies and developers put together for that program, but or for the Kinect. But just thought I had a lot of people ask about it on Facebook and Twitter over the last week, so I figured I'd mention it on the podcast. Dance Central is awesome. Lee was correct. Belbiv, DeVoe, Poison. I can do that and get 5 stars on easy. I'm trying to go up to medium, but it is not an easy game to play. You actually have to learn how to dance, John.
Oh, that's good. I've been meaning to do that.
Yeah. So let's go right into the mailbag, because this isn't going to be the longest show ever. I'm just gonna be up front.
By the way, I will have you know I dance very well.
All right, John.
It's true. I have an innate rhythm.
Next time I see you, we'll have a dance off.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Well, you're gonna be coming up, and you're gonna be coming up for that thing.
Possibly. I don't know yet. It is possible. I'd like to.
You can't find 1 week in April or May.
You know what? I can find it. I may just not
you
give it to you.
You want to have a FitCast meetup, dude.
I should be able to.
All right. Preemptive FitCast meetup in Boston in April or
Boston.
May.
Boston.
Block off your calendars for those months. You're not doing
Boston.
Anything else. Yeah. Going to Boston. So the first question that we have comes from First Lieutenant Christopher. Help me with that last name, John. We'll just say Christie. That's what I'm going to go with that. It says, hey,
everybody. The Eugenio?
Okay. Hey, everybody. I used to be a powerlifter in college at Penn State University and achieved a deadlift of 525 pounds at a body weight of 178. I loved lifting, but then I joined the Army to become an officer. Over the past 2 years, I have had minimal time lifting heavy, but stayed in shape as my job demands, just in a very different way. While the itch to lift heavy weights again got to me, as a 25-year-old, I want to know what I am truly capable of. Now that I am deployed and in Iraq, I actually have the time to train with consistency. I've only been overseas for about 3 months now for 12 months stay, and I went from not deadlifting in about a year to pulling 375. How am I supposed to follow a program when lifting progress exceeds textbook and unusual programming standards? Is there a rule of thumb to follow for a case such as mine, or is it more of a trial and error process? I would like to follow 5-3-1, but a set program seems like it would confine and hinder rather than guide and assist. Thank you. That's an interesting question.
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, he's probably benefiting from a lot of that kind of residual neuromuscular adaptations that he made and some residual muscle. And I'm sure he's not in any bad shape, even if he's not, you know, lifting heavy. He's still probably got a pretty decent work capacity given the fact that he's in the Army. So it's an interesting question because you're right. I mean, he's kind of gaining rapidly. I don't have anything against progressing quickly as your body allows it, especially in those early stages. I think it makes sense to be, not let yourself get ahead of yourself and still be aware of the fact that it's going to, you know, eventually you will slow down. So it's not necessarily about getting to heavy lifting as quickly as possible, just doing it efficiently and safely. But, you know, I don't see a problem with, say, like a 3 week periodization, like a medium high deload kind of thing, and reassessing after each deloading and seeing where you're at. And I don't think that would be holding you back in any way, especially because that's a very quick kind of mesocycle there. So, you know, I don't know. What do you think, Kev?
Well, he brought up the 5-3-1 program, and I think that is exactly what he should be doing. Specifically because what you end up doing for the last set of that 5-3-1 program on the main lift is you do as many reps as possible. And right now, if you don't necessarily know where your strength is, that's going to allow you to get a better idea. So if you're doing, you know, you obviously you're going to take what you perceive to be your one rep maxes for those lifts. Hopefully, if you have the chance, you can just take a day and do the testing to get a general idea if that's something you want to do. And then once you jump into the program, again, with those as many reps as possible lifts, it will give you a better gauge of where you are strength-wise. So obviously, if you're doing what you were scheduled to do for 5 reps, when you go to as many reps as possible, you end up doing 12 reps, you figure out pretty quickly that, you know, maybe I can bump that weight that I was doing for 5 reps up a little bit. And hopefully most people out there should be familiar with the 5-3-1 program. We talked with Jim Wendler about it a couple months back. But I think that is a great program for increasing strength. And if you have the time and you have the energy to do it and you have the time to allow yourself to recover properly, I think go for it, man. do it. You will see great results with it.
There you go.
And that's something we run into at Boyle's a lot, especially, obviously, you're not a 14-year-old, but the story that Mike brings up a lot is the 14-year-old girl who benched 45 pounds for 3 months or for five reps, and then when they end up going and doing the 50s bench, which is you try to get 50 reps across three sets, she did 45 pounds for 50 reps.
Mm-hmm.
Just because she literally, you know, she said, no one told me that to go heavier. Or
right.
You might not know how strong you really are. When you do those as many reps as possible sets, you get a really good idea and you get to challenge yourself a little bit. So,
yeah. I mean, that's what's fun about being a new lifter, or even more so sometimes coming back to lifting after some layoff, because you kind of grow like weeds. I mean, there's usually like a kind of, built-in period where you're not really progressing too much, and then all of a sudden you just take off. You know, and it's like every time you get on the bar, you're adding weight to it. And that's not, that doesn't typically happen for the rest of your lifting career, but it does in the beginning. So stuff like that can kind of be fun. And I don't have a problem with advancing a lifter as long as they're lifting properly and they're not, going overboard and losing form ridiculously so. But whatever, experiment, see what you're capable of doing. But I think that ultimately, like I said, I mean, whether you get to that, that kind of peak position in 2 months or 3 months, you still got a pretty long way to go before you start getting back to where you used to be. So I don't think that it's necessarily wrong to be a little bit conservative with how quickly you progress. But I don't see a problem in saying, okay, I'm lifting a lot more than, let's say, this program is designed to, if you're using a set percentage for a specific number of weeks. I think you can progress that and not have a problem with it.
I threw out a request for any questions from Facebook yesterday, and I ended up getting quite a few responses. I don't know if you got to check out any of those, John, but
yeah, I did actually.
Maybe I don't remember this, but it seems like I have it out for P90X and people don't understand why.
Yeah, I saw a few of those.
And I think when we did talk about it, I said it's not a bad program. It's better than nothing. But
right.
Obviously the I can't remember exactly what the way it was set up. Like, I just didn't like the way the workouts are set up. I don't remember exactly the way, it's set up with a workout is on a DVD. Like, you would literally have an arm toning day, an ab right. day and stuff like that. And that's specifically why I didn't like it. And you know what? I think there's better bodyweight programs out there. Like, you can go check out, Craig Ballantyne has a turbulence training bodyweight program that you can do at home, or you can, look at Alan Cosgrove. He has, the Afterburn bodyweight program that you can get, and they're cheaper. And I don't know. It's like I said, it's better than nothing, but P90X, just not a huge fan, especially the way it's marketed, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care necessarily how it's marketed specifically, but I mean, I agree with you, and I don't really know P90. I saw one video of it. Bodybuilder style split things, I'm not usually a big fan of. I don't really care if you do one bodybuilder split for a month just for giggles, but in general, I don't really think that it's a great way to lift for a number of reasons. So, I'm with you. I'd rather take something that's gonna, challenge with a little bit more effort of the intensity of the weight of whatever, rather than, an arm day. I hear arm day and I kind of shudder a little bit.
And we're going to save the discussion on the 4-hour body for next week. When everyone's here.
Cool.
But that could be interesting. Another cool question that we got was from Dave. He says, I have a question that I would like you, like to get different coaches' opinions on. How would you take and this is kind of like a roundtable discussion, but how would you take a very overweight person, 100 plus pounds overweight and completely untrained, and make a lean muscular athlete out of them? Basically, if someone said to take fat guy number one, assume no injuries or health concerns, and turn them into a superhero in 3 years, what is your general strategy? Fat loss first, begin strength training right away, cardio, etc. So yeah, no, I think that's a good question, and I feel like it's something that we might have talked about a little bit in the past. But with extremely overweight individuals, I don't think you treat them way too much differently than you would just a new personal training client that has a goal of fat loss. Because if you're untrained, you're untrained. And we know a couple of things right off the bat. One, your form for a lot of exercise is going to be pretty rough. So we're going to start by regressing you with a lot of the exercises and making sure if we give you an exercise, you're going to be able to perform it correctly, because there's no point in you doing like very shitty, I think we're okay with swearing, right?
Well, you drop an F bomb like, whoa.
Oh yeah. Don't listen to you off topic with your kids. But the you know, you're obviously not going to have your client start and going like doing heavy back squats if they're 400 pounds, because that wouldn't make a lot of sense. You're going to start with things like a lot of body weight movements, a lot of movements where the weight is you're actually doing negative weight. Like you can use bands that you attach to a rack and hold on to the bands and do some body weight squats like that to make sure that form is something that you. Again, this is kind of a side argument that we've had a lot with the CrossFitters, is that I guess our side is we are very stingy about form from where we come from, where other people's – I literally have seen trainers like write articles saying, you know what, when you got to like lose weight or you're with a client, sometimes you got to throw form out the window. I'm like, no, you're a jackass. Shut up.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Now you're going to hurt your clients, and maybe they don't hurt their clients, but you know what? Someday they probably will. And then the word's going to get around saying, yeah, I blew out my knee training with such and such. Awesome. People are going to love to hear that. But especially with the overweight individuals, doing things like incline push-ups, offsetting the weight by using bands and cable stations when you're doing lower body movements like squats. You know what? You're probably going to have to start with some kind of lat pull down or some kind of crossover cable pull down, because you're not going to be having them doing chin ups, and you're not going to have them doing band assisted chin ups. There's just no way it's going to happen. For a couple other exercises, you're going to be making sure that you just have them do multi joint exercises that they're capable of doing without any pain, and with the most range of motion as possible. And we are lucky. Our field, or at least our, you know, the people that we work with, that John and I work with, whether it be like, you know, the Mike Boyles or the Bill Hartmans and the Mike Robertsons, the Eric Cressys, you know, they have kind of set up a system where, you know what, there's lots of little tricks and tools that you can use to make exercises easier as well as more difficult. So you can have lots of ranges of loads. When it comes to the conditioning, someone that heavy, you're probably not going to throw them on the Aerodyne bike and having them doing intervals right off the bat. Because I don't care if they don't have any health problems. It's probably not going to be great, and they're not going to be feeling great the next day. We just talked about recovery a little while ago with the last question, but if someone is untrained, it's obviously going to take them a little bit longer to recover, even to the point where you might say, all right, we might just start lifting twice a week, full body twice a week, cardio on two of the off days, and it's probably going to be steady state. I mean, would you disagree with that, Joe?
Well, I mean, yeah, but I don't know.
We're using this example of a 400-pound person.
Well, no, but I mean, I think that the 100 plus pounds overweight, not, you know, I think the question is, because I'm not sure if you really hit what he was asking for the way that I interpret it. I think he's
starting at the beginning of, in terms of, I'm not even, the point I was trying to get across is, at that point when we get someone, we're not even looking at turning them into an athlete. Because that,
oh no, yeah, lot, no, I mean,
that's a yeah. year plus away, and probably yeah. two.
I mean, I think, right, I mean, from that standpoint, it's like, what's the breakdown that I would use? First, I think the beginning stages, honestly, have more to do with that client's psychology than anything else, especially if they're overweight. Are they comfortable in the gym? Are they not comfortable in the gym? Are they on board with the plan from day one, or do they need some kind of help to be more consistent with what their goals are? I mean, it's someone like that coming in. I think you've got a very different type of client at 100-plus pounds overweight versus a client that's 10 pounds overweight and just hasn't been to the gym. So with clients like that, I've found a lot of times there's some emotional issues that go along with it. They may not be confident in what they're going to do. They may be embarrassed to be in the weight room with a bunch of, you know, big, strong, burly guys. And, you know, so that I think has a lot to do with those early, early stages. And that's just from a general standpoint of remember to listen to your client, not just evaluate them, but actually listen to them and see what it is that they're giving you and what they're not giving you and what you have to fill in, you know, for the blanks.
And you'd be surprised that, you know, it's not just women, it's men too.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because, and, you know, it makes sense. I mean, this is an arena that when you have someone dealing with weight issues, it's very, very possible that they've been doing that their entire lives. Mm-hmm. And even if they haven't been, it's the type of thing where it's a very difficult thing in our society to be overweight. It's not, you know, looked at as being a good thing. You know, it's not, you know, they're still having debates on whether or not they should be a protected population, or can people do whatever they can. You be fired for being overweight? Right now you can be. There's no law stopping you. And that's kind of, you know, in a way that's a discrimination. But on the other hand of it, this is a controllable issue. So people have problems with not singling out weight and saying you can control this. You know, so
that's
there's
a very interesting
a lot
comment, John. I think it's, you know, it's interesting if people have trouble with, you know, eating problems, does it get, are we getting close to the realm where it's the same thing if they're having like problems with alcohol or drugs?
Right, right. Very yeah, and that's. Yeah, and that's there's debate going on right now as to what we do in society. They just did a research study on that, and what people think is acceptable behavior. And what they got, at least from that study, from that survey, if I remember, was that people felt that it was okay to protect an overweight individual from the workforce, you know, discrimination. But they didn't agree with making them a you know, equal under the law, like a disabled individual.
What
like,
did
you know,
mean by protecting them.
So, in other words, right now you could walk down to, you know, you could have someone working for you. They're overweight, and you could walk in and say, you know, you don't fit in the chair anymore. You're fired. And they may be able to sue you back. Each state is different, but there's no federal law against that.
Gotcha.
They're not a protected population. Now, any of the lawyers in the audience may point out a million things, but from my understanding of that article, there's no federal law that prohibits that.
Well, do you remember that whole story in the UK? I did a blog about it last year where there was that family of four that were suing the government because they're saying, no, you have to pay for our health care and you're going to pay us because we're too fat to work.
Right. Yeah. I remember that.
Unbelievable.
And it's not, at least it's not protected in the same way. Like, I can't go to someone in a wheelchair and say, well, I don't want you working. You know, you're in a wheelchair, you're fired. Mm-hmm. That's obviously protected. I'd be sued and I'd be, you know, and I'd have no leg to stand on. I'd be mm-hmm. completely in the wrong. But, and that's from a federal law too. But obesity is not treated the same way. So because it's an epidemic, the question is, how do we treat it? Is it treated like a disease, or is it treated like, you know, almost like a lifestyle issue? And mm-hmm. and the problem with that is maybe 20, 30 years ago, we might have said, oh, it's a lifestyle issue, laziness, blah, blah, you know, all this garbage that you hear. But now we understand there's way more genetically that goes into obesity than we ever really kind of considered before. So if there are so many genetic contributors to obesity, is it fair to condemn an obese person when it may not truly be their fault? When it may not really, you know, they may be working against, you know, an addictive like property that's a brain chemistry issue.
Well, let
just
me
like
play
you said,
devil's
like
advocate, where I could say, you know, I know people that have smoked for years, but then have been able to quit, or, you know, have had
right,
drinking.
Sure, yeah.
So
the only problem is, and the way that I think of it, we're biological. See, the difference is we're biologically influenced to do things like smoke because it's stimulation. We like the quick fix. That's what we're programmed to do. But the issue is with food, we are absolutely programmed to eat. I mean, that's a starvation thing. That's like it's healthier to eat than to not eat. Mm-hmm. But that genetic programming was made before we had McDonald's and Hostess cupcakes and all kinds of easy crap to eat. you know, that's when food was not as available and as abundant. So when you got yourself a meal, you scarfed it down. But now times are changed, so that biological protection that helped us thrive for, you know, thousands of years as a species now is finally working against us because we've gotten too smart for our own good, and we can, you know, raise all kinds of food and all kinds of easy packaging, cheap food, and it's readily available. So it's a problem, and it's a problem against our own biological programming.
Fun times.
Yeah, fun times. But anyway, getting back to the idea, the question. So, you know, I think that, you know, like you said, Kev, I mean, you start off like any other client. You know, where are their strengths and weaknesses? What do you need to correct? The beauty of a beginner is that, in my opinion, you can do both. There's no – I don't separate weight loss and muscle gain in a newbie. You just give them a program designed to make them stronger. You get them moving. You get them at a slight deficit, and they're going to lose weight, and they're going to get stronger. It's a beautiful thing. I don't think that you really have to start to decide what to do until later on. You know, much later on when they're starting to really hit peaks and have plateaus, that's when you have to start to differentiate and say, all right, what's more important at this point? In general, I tend to go towards putting on muscle and strength first, then deciding when to cut the fat. I think it's a lot easier to maintain strength and muscle while in a deficit diet than to try to put on muscle and keep off fat once you're lean. And that's just you know, a personal experience. But then again, that's what bodybuilders and figure athletes tend to do. They work out in an off season. They put on a ton of weight. They put on a lot of muscle. And then when it's their season, they cut down the fat that they accumulated, but they try to maintain the muscle. So I kind of take it from the people that are doing that as a profession. If they've found that that's the easiest way to do it, and I've never seen anything that contradicts that, that's how I tend to look at it too. But that's, again, that's like, you know, a year and a half, 2 years down the line, as far as I'm concerned with this, you know, hypothetical individual.
Yeah, when you're dealing with a case of someone who's coming to you, who's obviously, like you mentioned, untrained, 100+ pounds overweight, you do strength training exercises, they're going to get stronger because they're untrained.
Yep.
And they're going to lose weight, you know, as long as the diet is in check.
Right.
I mean, simple math dictates that they will lose weight. My dog is now awoken and he wants attention. So that could get interesting. His face is right up against the microphone.
Hi, puppy.
You know what, John? For the sake of you, I'm going to look at that.
Wow. No.
You what? Can't see the video of my dog.
Oh, did you? Oh, I see the puppy.
Isn't this great for the people listening?
Yeah, it's fantastic. Thanks, KevBot. I like the...
I don't turn the heat on in my apartment, so let's see.
What kind of hat is that?
A Celtics hat.
That's what I figured.
Oh, there he is. There
it he almost is. Looked like an elf. Oh, my God. Look at that cute pup.
Oh. He is awoken. What a good movie. Great radio right now. So let's... I think that was a good discussion. That was a good discussion. Okay. And I'm going to turn this off so we actually don't have lagging problems. Okay, let's go to the next question. And I'm going to take a quick wance. that wasn't funny. I think we're good with all the questions from Facebook. But yeah, we will be talking about the 4-hour. I know we've gotten lots of emails about that. But we are tabling that.
Is that what we discussed last week off air?
Yep.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Thanks for bringing that up.
No problem, dude. Well, no, we haven't read it yet, so.
It's in Wikipedia, man. Come on.
Is it Wiki? Sweet.
All right, so the last question that we have comes from Nathaniel. Asymmetry. Is he going to bark at me? Asymmetry question. Quite simply, my right lat is bigger than my left lat, and it's driving me insane. I began competing last year, and it from my perspective at least, was a glaring symmetry issue. It seems to be accentuating even more so nowadays. A front, sorry if my microphone's getting hit, a front double biceps and rear lat spread are obviously most affected. The right lat just spreads much more so, and it seems to be still growing. What training altercations can I make or include in order to try and activate my left lat so it can grow and catch up? As I've been through more and thought more and more about it, it's evident that there's a lack of mind-muscle connection on the left side. Pulling movements feels a deep pinch in my right arm. Pulling movements makes me feel a deep pinch in my right lat, but my left lat struggles to get that deep contraction. So frustrating. Just because you wake up doesn't mean I have to pay attention to you. I'm working. All right?
Give him a biscuit. Stop being a bastard.
I will. I'll let you grab this question first, and then I will. Okay. Anyways, I've begun doing more unilateral work so I can focus on my left lat on its own more so, which has felt positive. Other ideas, Nathaniel. All right, I'll be right back.
Fantastic. I guess the question is, should I actually answer this question, or should I just talk shit about you for like until you come back on the mic? That's a good question. All right, Nathaniel, it's probably something that a lot of people experience, and I would agree with you that most likely it is neuromuscular. One thing to consider, though, is to take a look at your positioning, and that includes trunk rotation, hip position, shoulder position, so scapular position, scapular winging, things like that. Anything that could affect what you're actually seeing. Because not only that the positioning would, in theory, affect your ability to contract the muscle, but it would also affect just simply how you're seeing yourself in the mirror. If you're rotated, if you're rotated to one side, your left lat, so if your right lat is, let's say, your right side is a little bit rotated towards the mirror and the left is away, then the left lat will look smaller just from an optical illusion too. So it's possible that may be playing into it. So it's a good idea just to check your range of motions, or better yet, have someone else check it and see if there's rotation deficit to one side, see the shoulder position, all that kind of stuff. Otherwise, I think that one of the first level, if you will, of trying to get a better neuromuscular control is starting through isometric. It's not just necessarily I'm going to do more reps on the one side, because if they aren't quality reps and you're not able to really contract the muscle that you're talking about. And again, it's from a bodybuilding standpoint, but I think it does have influence on a lot of things, including athletic participation too. You need to make sure that you have good control, and it's the same reason why you can sign your name, let's say, with your right hand if you're a righty, but you have difficulty with the left hand. It's just a cross of the nerves that makes it more difficult for one side than the other. So you really want to start on those basic levels of learning what it feels like to engage that muscle and to challenge yourself to be able to engage that muscle on command. Not only does that help you to kind of get that mind-body connection sort of thing that people refer to it, but what it really does is it also makes sure that your movement quality is equal on both sides, because what's going to end up happening is that you're probably compensating on the left with more, let's say, arm, you know, biceps contraction, could even be more trunk rotation or whatever to get the movement done than you are on the right side. So not only do you have more difficulty using that muscle, you're also going to have more difficulty actually exercising it, because you found ways to get around it. That's how the brain works. It doesn't say, okay, we're going to do a row, so I've got to engage the lat and I've got to engage the biceps and I've got to engage the posterior delt. It doesn't do any of that. What it basically says is the weight is over here and I want it over here. And the lower processors figure out exactly how to do that, but the brain itself doesn't. So that's where compensatory action takes place. It means that although there might be a biomechanically correct way to do things, your body won't choose that if it can't. It'll just do whatever it needs to accomplish the task. And over time, you've now built in a compensatory strategy. You've learned how to do things, you know, the wrong way instead of doing something a little bit better because there was something wrong right in the beginning, and it just proceeded on and on from there. So really break your movement down, break the contraction of the muscle down, focus a lot on that left, and take a look at everything. Like I said, trunk position, hip position, shoulder position, all of that. You'll be amazed at how many differences you really find between right and left, a lot more so than just, you know, size of a muscle or ability to contract that muscle.
And I just sat down 2 seconds ago, so I'm hoping that John answered
your question. Yeah, I killed it. Knocked it out of the park. Man. Just boom.
Okay. Then I think, what do you think? I think we should save that roundtable for next week.
Yeah, sure.
Just for the sake of having everyone here. And we did not talk about football, but football playoffs right now. What's going on?
Yeah, pretty good too. And I am loving Green Bay right now.
Are they? They're winning? Oh, they're 14-0?
Oh, yes. Wow. 14-0.
Okay. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed. I'm sorry there was kind of a short podcast this week, but we promise to come back strong as ever next week for 203.
Sorry, dude. I was so good this episode. It's like three times as much quality all in the short, scant amount of time.
Oh, can we add one more?
I would love to add one more.
I don't have this word for word, but we did get a cool question in. I can't remember who it was, so I'm sorry. But he mentioned the –
where was it, on Facebook or
– no, it was email. But the question was in terms of dorsiflexion for any kind of hip lifts, and that's kind of what Mark Verstegen has said, to cue glute activation, that, you know, you have your client or athlete go into dorsiflexion, or for people out there who don't know what that is, it's just pointing your toes back towards your shins instead of pointing your toes downwards. And he was just wondering if there was any kind of reason kinesthetically that seems to work better to dorsiflex to get that glutes to activate, and for the hamstrings and the calves to not do the work and cramp up.
Yeah, well, the Gastroc, which are the major, one of the two major muscles of the calf, they help weakly in knee flexion. So you can, if you're pointing the toe, you're basically trying to do two things at once. You're trying to point the toes, and you're also trying to bend the knee. So you're basically kind of, you know, that's where cramping. Yeah, you're firing them off, and that's what ends up cramping. So in compensation of that, you're probably going to use a little bit more hamstring involvement than you normally would. And again, the Gastroc don't do a huge amount of work there, but it's enough that if you change the position of the ankle, that the hamstrings are going to end up having to do more. So if you're talking about like a hip extension type of thing, you're going to end up throwing off. You're going to use less of the glute most likely because the hamstrings are firing a little bit more. That's basically it. Yeah, I mean it's the same.
I mean
thing.
It's a good call because especially when you look at most of these people that are performing these exercises tend to have pretty horrible ankle mobility too, which has to relate to it. I mean, not being able to dorsiflex because there are, you know, you see most people who have even negative degrees of ankle flexion.
Yeah. Well, you can.
But I'm just asking. I'm just throwing at the wall, man.
I think it has more to do – that's probably not too much to do with it,
okay. Honestly,
because then you can also get compensatory. Usually they have like external rotation deviation, so they'll just – instead of being able to dorsiflex, they'll just externally rotate or something. So they'll still get that. That's why people are like, oh, yeah, I'm fine. And for pure dorsiflexion, they're actually limited, but they don't realize it because they just make it a compound movement and get that dorsiflexion in other ways. They externally rotate the hip. They do a lot of different things. So, but no, I mean, I think it really what this question boils down to is the idea of active insufficiency. Mm-hmm. Which I think we've talked about before, but for anyone in the audience not familiar with it, it's if you take your arm right now, hold it out, your hand out straight, make a fist, you'll make a good tight fist. If you bring your wrist in towards your body now so that you're flexing the wrist and then try to make a fist again, it's going to be a very weak fist, and you can't even get your fingers all the way gripped into a fist. And what that is called active insufficiency. What you've done is you've taken the forearm flexors, many of which control flexion of the fingers as well, and you've already made them work to bring the wrist in towards the body. So now they can't do two things at once. You can't ride two horses at once. So you weaken the grip strength because you're bringing your hand closer and you're flexing the wrist. That's really what the act of the forearm extensors when you make a fist. If you didn't have the extensors on the other side of your forearm, then every time you tried to make a fist, you just draw your hand right in. So if you take, let's say you're using your right hand, take your left hand and just kind of place it around your forearm there and then make a fist. And not only will you feel the forearm muscles, the flexors get tight, but you'll also feel the extensors get tight as well. And that's because they're working against the flexors so that your hand is in the best position to make a strong fist. So that happens all throughout the body. Our muscles may be in states of active insufficiency, where if they work on two joints, they're working on a primary joint, so that secondary joint really can't be as strong. Or they might be in passive insufficiency, where you're stretched out over the joint. So that's the reason why it's very difficult to lift on a preacher bench, let's say, the same weight that you might curl otherwise. Your arm starts.
John, can you hear me?
I can now.
Oh, damn it. What'd I've been using my built-in microphone the whole time.
Wow. What's that mean?
It means I sound like garbage.
Eh, but no one listens to you anyway.
I'm sorry, folks. That was my fault. And computer problems this week.
Yeah. But anyway, so that's what we were kind of talking about. So
how much better do I sound now?
Oh, my God. I know. You are so sexy sounding.
Hey, let's have, can we say redo that? The show?
Can I say that? Can I tell you that right
can
now?
Can we start over?
You want to just record the whole damn thing over again?
Yeah. Because I was like clicking and stuff, and people, I was muting my main microphone, and people hate it when I click.
That's
on my mouse.
Funny. Like, that would have been awesome. It's too bad. Like,
and I've been making noises. Like, I was like, I was just yeah, like, and now people heard me. I'm like, that was my John. Wrap it up.
That's fantastic.
And I thought I was muted.
Oh, that's fantastic. What do you call it? So yeah, so anyway, that's kind of what's going on there. If you point your toes, the gastrocs become actively insufficient at the knee, and therefore the hamstrings have to work twice as hard. And the gastroc will try to have action on the knee, and that's typically why you cramp in the calves when you do that. And then because the hamstrings are working over time, you're using less glute because of that. Now that the hamstrings become actively insufficient as well. So you just have this cascade of bad things going on.
Okay.
Yep.
If you want to watch that video again, my dog is back up. And
oh, I would love to.
Ow.
Where's the puppy? Hi, puppy. Dude, did I tell you that our dog is a lap dog? It's like
basically this dog like, is, yeah.
Yeah, she's like a 45-pound pit at this point. That will like jump on your lap. Like she sits there and waits for it. She jump. She puts her paws up on your lap, and you just pick her up. And she's in heaven. Good puppy.
This dog is gonna murder me someday. Like when we were playing, he will literally just like grab my neck with his jump. Like he's trying to do it right now.
Oh, that's such bad training.
Dog training. We're gonna get it done. I'm gonna make it happen.
Sweet.
Right, buddy. All right, well, that's going to do it for this week's episode of the FitCast, and he's jumping on the back of my chair.
Yes.
All right, so that's going to do it for this week's episode of the FitCast. Please don't forget to check us out on iTunes. Subscribe there. You can check out thefitcast.com. You can check me out on Twitter at twitter.com/KevinLarrabee or on Facebook at facebook.com/KevinLarrabee, and John is on Facebook as well, and he does not Twitter at the current time.
What the hell is URL? I don't even know what my Facebook is. Just go to, it's like john.fast or something. Yep, john.fast. No H, folks. J-O-N.F-A-S-S.
And Also, you can send in your questions to questions@theficast.com. And I hope to have a guest for you next week. Hopefully, it's going to be Alan Cosgrove. He had his mentorship this week, so we weren't able to do it this week. But hopefully, we'll be able to grab him for an hour or so next week.
And, that's what she said.
Right, Marty? Right? You're about to bark at me, aren't you? We have a great off-topic coming up for you. With some movie talk. So stick around if you want to listen to that. Otherwise, we'll see you next week. Sorry for the audio quality. All right, we're here in the off-topic discussion for 202. I'm with Jonathan Fass, and he is eating something.
I am. Because I'm hungry.
Yep.
And we start off another amazing off-topic segment.
We got – people loved the off-topic from last week. I got so many emails about that. I'm serious. Like, did you see the comments like on Facebook and stuff?
No, I didn't actually.
It's like 28-minute long off topic.
Let me go see.
It was almost, it was literally almost longer than our actual podcast.
But let's see this. Where under what?
What under what? What?
Right. No, where did they put these comments?
Oh, it's either on Facebook or Twitter. I can't remember. They both kind of mold together. It might have been on my Twitter thing too.
Kevin, don't lie to me.
About what?
You told me it was on Facebook. I got all excited and anxious.
Well, I use one application to do both, so I don't know which one I saw it on.
Aren't you just exceptional? I noticed that you were tweeting all over the place this morning.
Well, I've been sitting at my friggin' at a computer reinstalling everything. So I've been having to, I had a computer die on me over the weekend, which resulted in me spending a couple $1,000 at the Apple store last night.
That's sad.
It kind of sucked. Yeah.
Rest in peace, little computer.
Get the Apple Care. That's what I learned.
Well,
I decided to do that. I was literally like 36 days out of warranty. I'm like, no, how about I have to like get work done this weekend. So like it was going to be almost $800 to get it fixed.
Wow. Really?
Because it was the whole, it was on my iMac. So they would have to replace the whole board and the video card.
Oof.
So it was going to be pretty expensive. Or something along those lines. I, to be honest, I was in almost like a, it was just like everything kind of blurred together because I was in a fit of rage.
Dude, this ish is like a lot of money.
Yeah, but what ended up happening is I'm like, all right, I need a computer. So I bought another computer, and I'm just going to sell the broke one on eBay.
What'd you get?
Oh, my dog's having little dreams right now. Can you hear that? Listen. Listen. Shh.
Oh,
he's dreaming about something. I just ran his ass off outside.
You think he's dreaming about like an F Mary kill?
Yeah, that kind of blew up over the Facebook.
Dude, I got
some more insight. No, well, sure, maybe.
I totally got laid in that game.
We'll see.
See if Lee was here, she could clear it up right now for us. But she's not.
No, she had some traveling issues, so she wasn't able to get back in time. But the so that's what happened. But we're recording right now, so that's probably a good thing.
Sure. Is it actually recording, or is this going to be one of those great epic?
It looks like it is.
Can't wait for the playback. Oh crap! We didn't record.
But the awesome thing is I have to take a picture of this sometimes because I have four external hard drives next to my computer because I do a backup of the actual hard drive every other night.
Okay.
To OneDrive. I have
another drive that is just for video editing. Like if I have to go back and forth between videos, it's a FireWire drive, so it's really fast. And then I have, that's a terabyte drive. Then I have a 2 terabyte Western Digital drive that is a backup of all the Body by Boyle online stuff. And then another 1 terabyte drive that is a backup of some Body by Boyle online stuff. So
you had me at terabyte.
I literally, if you stack them all together, I have 5 terabytes worth of storage next to my computer. And also I have about
Kevin,
2
stop
online.
Talking dirty to me. This is a family show.
I know. But yeah, so that is that's that. iPhone's coming to Verizon on Tuesday.
Is that verified?
That's confirmed.
It is confirmed.
On the 11th, yeah.
And yet AT&T stock price keeps rising.
I'm in a contract, so it doesn't matter. But for all you out there, that's awesome.
Yes, it's stocks. Damn it.
What about it?
Forget it.
I don't invest.
Shame on you.
Did you see that Coke machine I bought?
See that what machine you bought?
Did I send you that?
No. You bought a Coke machine?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'll send you a picture in the... Not. I didn't really buy a Coke machine. That's ludicrous. Why would...
That would be ludicrous.
Who would do that?
Right, especially as some kind of trainer and health, nutrition, personal trainer.
What's wrong with Coke?
Dude, it's the devil's juice.
It's the devil's juice.
Yep. Best line in friggin' First
haven't
Rock or
it.
Whatever the hell that
is. I haven't seen it.
Oh, you never saw it? They, what do you call it? I forgot what the episode was, but do you know the characters in that show?
On what show?
Was it First Rock, right?
Third Rock from the Sun?
Not Third Rock from the Sun, for God's sakes.
That's a good show. My parents like that
show. Yeah, that's a great show. No,
here we go.
I don't know, what the hell is that show on NBC?
Thirty Rock,
yeah, thank you. So they, the page who's like a super conservative, religious, whatever... They were talking about coffee, Tracy Morgan.
He's like addicted to caffeine.
Yeah, yeah. So when it led up to it, Tracy Morgan's like, "Oh, he buys him a coffee maker so that everyone could enjoy in the office." And the page is like, "No, I don't want to have it." And he's like, "Why not? It's coffee." He's like, "Coffee's great." He's like, "Oh no, I don't drink any warm liquids. That's the devil's temperature." Freaking hysterical. Best line.
That's a pretty good show.
Yeah.
So did you see that thing I sent you?
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was with the leftovers of the gift cards that my clients got me.
Wow, that is pretty wicked, actually.
It's pretty cheap. You can get, it was like $120 on sale on Amazon.
Was it like just like a cooler freezer kind of thing, like a mini freezer?
You can just plug it in and you'll see there's like buttons on the right. You just push the button in and then it dispenses down the back to the bottom.
Oh my God.
It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
That
might be the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Dude, that's awesome.
That's what I said.
Yeah. It goes with the motif of your video gaming world.
It's not in the arcade, but I only have the 3 games now, so I don't really have an arcade. Mm. More of like a depressing movie theater. but I also got a Kinect. It came and I've been playing with it, and we'll talk about that.
What do you think?
I really like it. I like it, yeah.
Yeah.
I wrote some stuff up for the off topic that I want to quickly talk about. That I saw The Wrestler.
Yeah, you know, that's like a 4-year-old movie.
I know, but it was on. It was actually on demand, but I own it on Blu-ray, but I haven't opened it yet. But I watched it when it was on demand.
Dumbass.
So that was really good.
Very good. Did you see Black Swan yet? Because that's like his most recent film.
Oh, he was in that.
No, the director.
Oh.
That was an incredible movie.
Oh my God, you can write notes in Google Docs now?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I saw The Expendables. I watched that on Sunday night after we recorded. Awesome.
Yeah, I never saw it.
Tons of dudes died in that movie.
Mm.
Tons of dudes.
I would imagine.
So it was Jason Statham Part 1. Then the other Jason Statham movie I watched was 13, which is more of an independent flick. Which is really cool. The premise is basically this this kid gets wrapped up into this contest where it is basically everyone has a gun and they get around in a circle and it more or less end up playing a Russian roulette tournament.
Okay.
So it's interesting.
Wow.
That was good.
I saw The Fighter. I saw 127 Hours.
You talked about both of those.
Well, I don't know, because I've seen, like, recent movies. You know what I finally saw? I finally saw
Clueless?
The Social Network.
That was all right.
Oh, please. That was a great movie.
To be honest, I wish that work could have gone back into Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip, because that's where Aaron Sorkin should be. He should be on season 4 of that show.
Yes.
It was a great show. And by the way, someone on Twitter just said... just bought Fringe Season 2 based solely on the blind recommendation of Kevin Larrabee.
Wow. Wow.
It's a good choice. Wow. It's a good choice, sir.
Again, I admit that
serious,
I'm probably...
Are you serious, Jim? You don't watch that?
I never got into it. I mean, first of all, I liked it better when it was called X-Files.
Fuck you, John.
Oh, there you go. Dropping an F-bomb. How many minutes are we in?
I don't care. It's the best show on TV.
How many minutes did I get you on? How many minutes did it take?
I told you. Off topic, should not listen to it with the
Joy
kids.
Bryant is kind of gorgeous.
What's up?
It was a commercial for like Parenthood or something, and Joy Bryant is in it, and she's
just...
You
have that show over there?
I do.
Over there?
Over there. Joy Bryant, she's okay in my book.
I don't know who that is.
See? And that's why you fail.
Well,
so Lee Peel played F. Mary Kill.
She's not here to defend this. So.
I don't care. That's her fault. Then she should know better than to skip out on a fit cast
report. She's not skipping out on it. She's stuck.
I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to hear about it. So Lee Peel played with her friend F. Mary Kill.
Katie.
With the fit cast.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
And
yeah.
LeePeel.com.
Yep. And I think that's just glorious, personally. I thought that was the funniest thing that I'd heard in a while.
Is it really that big of a deal?
I liked it. I liked it because of the clever banter that followed the posting.
Did Lou Schuler get involved in that too?
Yeah, he did. That's why it was like the most random. It was awesome. It was absolutely awesome.
Lou's been all up in the Facebook lately.
Has he?
Yes, he commented on my Coke Zero thing today. Amazing how Coke Zero caused the controversy this morning.
Did it?
I had multiple people saying, oh, so it's all right to drink diet soda. I'm like, first off, yes, it's okay to drink diet soda. Calm down. People act like they're injecting heroin into their body when they drink a Diet Coke. You're going to be okay.
Yeah, you'll be okay. I just don't like soda.
Well, sure. I mean, is it the best thing ever? No.
No, I mean, like, I don't like the taste of it.
Fine, I just don't
like
soda.
Haven't
had Coke Zero. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. So that's cool. God, this off topic's way better with Lee because I enjoy her company.
Of course
more.
It is. Right.
Because she's a woman.
Right.
I don't like talking to you, John.
Right.
She has that accent, man.
Can't yeah. Help it. Someone said that she gets either that people love her accent or they don't like her accent. Have you noticed that? Like they specifically zero out her accent.
Hold on,
in
pause and rewind and just listen to what you just said. People either like it or they don't like it.
That's dope.
No shit.
You heard me.
John, PhD, man.
Yo, first of all, DPT. Whatever. Secondly,
no, I have a player haters degree, man.
Yeah, it's true. Secondly, I am so freaking jet lagged right now. I don't know what kind of stupid crap is going to fly out of my mouth right now.
You're kind of giving away your position, aren't you?
No. I was home. Now I'm back. That jet lags me. Dude, I'm going to give out a secret. Here's secret number one. I don't work in Kansas.
Anymore.
There you go. I don't work in Kansas. So that means that when I travel home, I'm probably going to get jet lagged.
All right.
For all you people sending me guesses, which are fun, by the way, I enjoy that. I get guesses. People send me like, "Do you work for this person?" I'm like, "Oh, that's a good guess." No.
Would you tell them they're right if they weren't?
Yeah, I probably would. I think I would.
You're going to be on the next season of 24, John, and not in the good way.
Ice. There's no bad way to be on 24, my friend.
You heard they canceled the movie, right?
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
I did not hear that. I was kind of curious how they were going to pull that off.
Dude, Jack's getting old.
Yeah. Was it going to be like a 12-part movie, you know? It's like 24 part 12.
Or you could just not have it be in real time. They didn't do that the last three seasons.
Really?
The events weren't in real time anymore. They, like, fudged with the numbers a little bit.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I stopped watching. I got sick of it. It was like the same freaking plot every season.
You gotta find President Palmer.
Yeah.
Or who killed
President Palmer. Oh, some Middle Eastern terrorists. We're gonna kill Palmer. Oh. Goodness.
Well, there's Russians and there's Middle Eastern terrorists. That's two different things.
Right.
It's pretty much the only terrorists that the Americans fight, though.
Right.
And then there's like North Korea, maybe.
Right.
But you know what? Something that is always fun is killing Nazis. Like, I played Call of Duty 2 this morning while I was waiting for my computer to load the stuff off the external hard drive.
Uh-huh.
Like, oh my god, that's just something that reunites the world.
Of course.
Everyone can get behind that.
Of course. It's a great thing. That's why, and again, that's why I didn't like Inglourious Basterds. That's the single reason why. The best character in that movie was the effing Nazi.
Who was
I couldn't
that?
Get behind. What's that?
What character was the Nazi?
Like the Nazi guy?
Oh, you mean there were lots of Nazis in that movie, John?
Yes, but the commander. You know, like the one that won the Academy Award for it?
No.
Oh, God. Talking to you is like, why do I bother?
I watched two Jason Statham movies last week, John.
Seriously. Yeah, the Nazi commander was fantastic. The character was absolutely the best character in the movie. So every time he was on screen, there was a little piece of me that hated him. And it blew the whole movie for me. I just couldn't enjoy it.
Did he end up dying?
I can't tell you that because I might ruin it for some people.
Okay. I thought that movie wasn't that good, so.
Oh, wow. That sucks that we're in agreement on that.
It was kind of boring. I think I might have fallen asleep while I was watching it.
Did you see Tron? You saw Tron, right? Did we talk about this last week?
The town?
Tron.
I have not seen Tron yet.
Oh, that's an epic fail.
I'm going to wait for the Blu-ray release.
Blah, blah, blah. By the way, 3D, probably not necessary. You would think it would be awesome. It really didn't.
We talked about this last week.
Yeah, that's what I figured. I don't know what day it is. I'm so jet lagged.
It's Monday.
Liar.
Well, it almost is, right? No, it is.
Liar.
Where you are, it is.
Maybe.
All right, I think that's about.
Yeah, I think we're good.
All I got. Let's record like a 20-minute podcast.
I love it.